Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, To Whom Do You Belong? We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Please remain standing and join me, united as one church family, in affirming our faith, saying, Unity is God's gift to the church in Jesus Christ. Just as God is one God, and Jesus Christ is our one Savior, so the church is one because it belongs to its one Lord, Jesus Christ. The church seeks to include all people and is never content to enjoy the benefits of Christian community for itself alone. There is one church, for there is one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. Because in Christ the church is one, it strives to be one. To be one with Christ is to be joined with all those whom Christ calls into relationship with him. To be thus joined with one another is to become priests for one another, praying for the world and for one another, and sharing the various gifts God has given to each Christian for the benefit of the whole community. Division into different denominations obscures but does not destroy unity in Christ. The Presbyterian Church, affirming its historical continuity with the whole Church of Jesus Christ, is committed to the reduction of that obscurity and is willing to seek and to deepen communion with all other churches within the one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church.
Thank you. Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at the 10th verse. Let's listen together to these words. Paul writes, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, 'I belong to Paul,' or 'I belong to Apollos,' or 'I belong to Cephas,' or 'I belong to Christ.' Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you. Well, except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did also baptize the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else." I just love the way Paul writes that. How honest of him. "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for this, your word, and for the privilege of worship this day. As we sit beneath its teaching, we would pray that the thoughts of our hearts, the meditations of our hearts, and what we will take from this might bring honor and glory to you. For we pray it through Christ our Lord. Amen. I recently read an article in the December 2022 edition of Christianity Today about a conversation between Bono, the frontman for the band U2, perhaps one of the most popular bands on the planet, and Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham. Billy had invited Bono and the band to come and meet him, and he sent Franklin to the airport to pick them up. So Bono describes their conversation in the car in this way. Apparently, Franklin wasn't so sure of his cargo. So as Bono puts it, he started asking, "So you really love the Lord?" Bono answered, "Yes." "Okay, you do. Are you saved?" "Yep, and saving." Franklin doesn't laugh, no laugh. "Have you given your life? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" "Oh, I know Jesus Christ, but I try not to make him my personal Savior. But, you know, yes." "Well, why aren't your songs more Christian?" "They are," says Bono. "Oh, well, some of them are," replies Franklin. "What do you mean?" "Well, why don't we know that they are Christian songs?" And Bono answers, "They all come from the same place, Franklin. Look around you, look at the creation, look at the trees, look at the sky, look at the verdant hills. They don't have a sign up that says, 'Praise the Lord,' or 'I belong to Jesus.' They just give glory to Jesus." The article goes on to say, for 4 decades, Bono has found himself in conversations like this one, responding to Christians who aren't quite sure what to make of him or the band U2. Now, I'm not defending the faith of either one of these gentlemen, but nor am I questioning it. You don't have to be the leader of a world-famous rock band to have that question asked of you, or perhaps you find yourself asking the same of another. Franklin wanted to know if Bono was really a Christian. Perhaps a fair question to ask, although which of us is in a position to judge that, particularly when the question becomes judgmental in either tone or intent. A veiled asking of, "Are you a real Christian?" with the unspoken implication, "Like I am." Now, this is essentially the question that the Apostle Paul is addressing in his first letter to the Corinthians. Recall, Paul had spent 18 months in Corinth, establishing the church there before moving on to Ephesus. And when he left, the church community was relatively harmonious. But now he is learning that there are quarrels which are splitting the church. These weren't organized parties debating well-formulated issues, but more were spontaneous discussions and dissensions and arguments among individuals who were rallying around the names of various preachers or leaders over issues less doctrinal, less theological than personal and preferential. And knowing how threatening that kind of dissension can be to a church community, Paul calls them out on it, saying, it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Their debates sound an awful lot like that conversation between Franklin Graham and Bono, don't they? The one wanting to know if the other really was a Christian, or at least a real Christian, according to their standards. It is a subtle trap when we think that we are more Christian than another because of a particular view which we hold or which leader we follow. So Paul, in an attempt to nip this kind of thinking and debating in the bud, writes, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. And this becomes the theme of his first letter to the Corinthians, unity despite their differences. The Greek word for divisions is schismata, from which we get our word schism. Or the Greek word for unity might better be translated restored or put back in order that which has been torn or is in disarray. It's the same word that would be for a fisherman who's mending his nets. This is Paul's greatest concern for the Corinthian church. Not that they had lost their faith, but that the unity of the faith which they had enjoyed was being torn apart by dissension, by disagreements, and so needed to be mended together once again. Not that they would all be in agreement with one another on all things, but that they would be united under the lordship of Jesus Christ, same mind, same purpose. Interestingly enough, I've never preached on this text in 41 years of ministry. Perhaps I never felt I had to, and I'm not sure I feel like I need to now, but I've chosen to because this may be one of my greatest concerns for the church writ large, and maybe for us specifically as we enter into this unknown and uncertain future. Given the environment in which we live and our society's apparent lack of ability to have any semblance of civil discourse, I have a concern that we might assume a similar posture regarding those who hold positions which differ from our own unless we make the conscious decision and the conscientious commitment to unity rather than division. Disagreement is one thing, division, quite another. We're all aware that there have been relationships strained, damaged, broken in recent years between family members, between longtime friends, close neighbors, churches and church members over issues social and theological and political and medical, over issues of leadership and decision-making and personal preferences, even over how one came to faith, in which one has wondered about another. Is he really a Christian? Or is she a real Christian? Ask yourself, do you think because of your stance on any one of these issues that you are more Christian than anyone else who also professes faith in Jesus Christ? If so, then this letter was written to you, to us, and not just to the church in Corinth. You've long heard me say that in the essentials unity, in the non-essentials liberty, in all things love. And my concern now for the body of Christ is that we have allowed non-essentials to divide us without regard for the essentials. And when that happens, the body of Christ is damaged by it. Nicky Gumbel of the Alpha program tells this wonderful story, and I just wish that I had his delightful British accent to tell it. But assuming himself to be the teller of the story, he says, "One day I was standing in the middle of the Golden Gate Bridge admiring the view when another tourist came up right beside me also to admire the view. I heard him say under his breath, 'What an awesome God.' I turned to him and said, 'Oh, are you a Christian?' 'Yes, I am a Christian,' he answered. And I said, 'So am I.' So we shook hands. I said, 'Are you a liberal Christian or a fundamental Christian?' He said, 'I am a fundamental Christian.' And I said, 'And so am I.' So we smiled and nodded to one another. I said, 'Are you a covenant or a dispensational fundamental Christian?' He said, 'I am a dispensational fundamental Christian.' I said, 'So am I.' And we slapped one another on the back. I said, 'Are you an early Acts, mid Acts, or late Acts dispensational fundamental Christian?' He said, 'I am an Acts 9, mid Acts dispensational fundamental Christian.' And I said, 'So am I.' So we agreed to exchange Christmas cards each year. I said, 'Are you a pre-trib or post-trib Acts 9, mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian?' He said, 'I am a pre-trib Acts 9, mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian.' I said, 'So am I.' And we agreed to exchange kids during the summer. Now I said, 'Are you a 12-in or 12-out pre-trib Acts 9, mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian?' He said, 'I am a 12-in pre-trib Acts 9, mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian.' And I said, 'You heretic!' And I pushed him off the bridge." I love that story. And I'll confess there are parts of that story I don't even know what they're talking about. But what I do know is that we, the church, have argued and debated and divided over nuances and incidentals under the guise of our desire for purity and truth, and it has accelerated in recent years, and I fear it will continue to divide us as the church if we individually and collectively make the conscientious decision to allow it to. And so we must make the conscientious decision not to allow it to. Recognizing the incredible damage it is doing, the Apostle Paul appeals for unity among the members of the church. Not agreement in all matters, but unity, particularly where there are points of disagreement. And this is why I gave you this insert that I'll encourage you to take home and read carefully today. He stresses this rhetorically, almost sarcastically, when he adds, "Was Paul crucified for you?" Absolutely not. You see, the unity of our faith is that Jesus Christ was crucified for us. Now, some were saying, "I belong to Cephas, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Paul," and still others were saying, "Well, I belong to Christ." And that becomes a problem when the implication is that if you don't agree with me, you don't really agree with him. Or that somehow I am a better Christian, maybe a real Christian, because of the stance I hold. One commentator writes, "When 'I belong to Christ' becomes the rallying cry of one contentious faction within the church, Christ is de facto reduced to the status of one more leader hustling for adherence." Paul says this is a scandal. Is Christ divided up and parceled out like a commodity or a possession to be haggled over, fragmented into interests groups? No, this must not be, for the church is birthed and saved and sustained only in the name of Jesus. Of course there are disagreements within the body, even people within the body of Christ. I know not all of you agree with me, much less with one another, even on which are the essentials and which are the non-essentials of our faith. And I think you'd be rather surprised to know the preferences and the positions held by the person sitting right next to you this morning, and certainly by those sitting around you. But those differences don't seem to matter when we come in here, do they? And why is that? It's because when we gather here, we seem to be in agreement that the one who unites us is greater than anything that could ever divide us. But that principle only works if we are all firmly committed to remaining firmly committed to the one who unites us, and so not allowing those things which seek to divide us to divide us. Walking out of worship last Sunday, one of you said to me, "You're just preparing us, aren't you?" And I smiled and said, "Yes, I am." I can almost guarantee you that the person who succeeds me as your pastor will not do things the way I do things, will not say things the way I say things, will not preach or teach or lead the way I have done any of those things, ways that you have grown accustomed to. And one day you may find yourself saying, "Well, John never," or "John always." And in those moments, I will encourage you to reread these verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You don't belong to John. You never have, you never will. You belong to Christ, and Christ is not divided. Now, the kick is, in all of this, you don't really know how I vote or the positions I hold on many issues. Perhaps you suspect that you do, but you don't really know because I haven't told you. And why haven't I? Because I believe that there is something, or better, someone who holds us together that is more important than any of those myriad of things that could tease us apart. I've chosen to keep Christ at the center of my preaching and teaching, believing that as long as that center holds, we can move in many different directions without tearing the fabric of our unity. When this truth, this of the centrality of Christ, is kept clearly in focus, then petty rivalries and disagreements and preferences for particular preachers or practices are seen in their true light as being simply ridiculous. We have a friend who's active in the AA community. One day, someone wore a T-shirt to one of the meetings supporting a particular political candidate. And after the meeting, one of the more senior members took the individual aside and kindly asked that he not wear that particular kind of shirt to a meeting again, stressing it was not because of the particular candidate that he was supporting, or that there was even a dress code for a meeting, but because the sole purpose of AA is sobriety. And they don't want anyone to do anything to distract anyone else from that central purpose. That, I believe, is what Paul's saying to the church at Corinth. So he writes to them and to us now, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose." Amen. And let us pray. Lord, you call us to be a part of your family, and we are humbled by that. You called us to a sense of unity that we know not in so many parts of our lives, and we pray, O Lord, that we might live into that vision which you have for us and for the church universal, that the world may see that difference and may come to know you. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the TAB podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.